Mirrors have long been associated with the supernatural. For centuries, superstitions abounded about mirrors being vessels for the undead, tools of divination, or portals to other realms. One legend in particular, however, outshines all others not only in its notoriety and its horror, but its simplicity. All you need is a mirror and a candle, and, if you're brave enough, you can summon one of the most feared apparitions of them all, Bloody Mary. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Hebe Jeebies podcast with me, Hebe. On this episode, we're venturing into urban legend territory, exploring one of the most famous scary games to play in the dark. Many generations have enjoyed the controlled fun of playing spooky games like Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. But the legend of Bloody Mary stands out as a particularly eerie example, as well as one that seems to have caused actual supernatural encounters. So, without further ado, let's get into it. Grab your candles and join me at the mirror as we discuss Bloody Mary. The Legend of Bloody Mary is a ritual-style game, similar in execution to ancient scrying or divination rituals. For the uninitiated, scrying is a method of obtaining information by gazing into some sort of medium, most commonly a bowl of water or a mirror. This was typically done by young girls to see an image of their future husband, among other innocuous things. But as is human nature, these methods would soon be applied to darker endeavours. The Bloody Mary ritual has many different incarnations, but the main structure of the ritual is generally the same. The player or players must stand in front of a mirror in a darkened and usually candlelit room, where they must chant Bloody Mary a set number of times into the mirror. This will conjure the spirit of a vengeful, angry woman in the mirror's reflection. At best, she will scream at you. At worst, she will kill you. Of course, as with any urban legend, there are variations in different tellings of the tale. For some iterations, Bloody Mary must be chanted 3 times, while in others it's 13. Some versions of the game say you must spin around while chanting or blow out the candle. Some versions have the apparition of Mary crying blood, while others have her covered in blood, Carrie style. In some stories, she reaches through the mirror to grab you, while in others, she physically manifests behind you and will drag you off if you turn to look at her. Whatever the specific details of the story are, the core aim of the ritual is to generate fear and to encounter the spirit of this specific Mary. But who is Bloody Mary? There are a couple of different candidates for the identity of Mary. The first and most obvious one is Queen Mary of England. Mary Tudor, daughter of Henry VIII, acquired the throne in 1553 and earned herself a fearsome reputation during her 5-year reign. A committed Catholic, Mary fervently disagreed with her father's Protestant legacy and set out trying to return Catholicism to the forefront of English society. As part of this mission, Queen Mary ordered some 280 Protestants to be burned at the stake as heretics. While this act of barbarism was neither unusual nor exceptionally brutal within the context of Tudor England, it was this, likely combined with a healthy dose of misogyny, that cemented Mary I as one of English history's most reviled villains, earning her the infamous nickname of Bloody Mary. The transition from hated historical figure to feared ritual figure via the shared moniker is obvious. Though, to me, it seems odd that Queen Mary should be named as the apparition in the mirror for a few reasons. Firstly, her preferred method of execution is distinctly unbloody, especially for the time period. And I would have thought that a ritualistic summoning of such a figure would reference burning in some way, since it's so prominent in her legacy. Though maybe this is what the candles represent. I also think that the appearance of Bloody Mary is inconsistent with her being the Tudor Queen, as I have found no mention of her being dressed in Tudor attire or otherwise giving any impression that she was meant to resemble the infamous Queen. Of course, there is no set description of what the apparition wears, and Queen Mary would not have looked like the stereotype of a Tudor woman all the time. But even so, urban legends are rarely subtle in their tropes. So I would expect more obvious allusions to the Tudor Queen if she was truly meant to be the apparition in the mirror. I think this link is purely based on the shared nickname of Bloody Mary. So if the Tudor Queen is not our Bloody Mary, then who is? Another historical figure nominated for the title is Elizabeth Báthory. Báthory was a Hungarian noblewoman who is most famous for being accused of killing young girls and bathing in their blood to maintain her youth. While she is more commonly referenced in folklore as a vampire, some have suggested that she may be Bloody Mary due to her alleged gruesome bathing habits. This theory is not widely endorsed, however. And the most commonly cited identity for Bloody Mary is a woman named Mary Worth. During her life, Worth was accused of witchcraft, just like many other women who chose to live in unmarried solitude. She lived in the forest and was known for selling herbal remedies, a practice that was often considered witchcraft by the devoutly religious. When some young local girls started to go missing, rumours began to spread that Mary Worth was luring them away for some nefarious purpose. Locals also noticed that the usually haggard Mary had taken on an unusually youthful and feminine appearance. Then, one night, a miller's daughter walked out of her home in the middle of the night, apparently hypnotised by a sound only she could hear. Her parents and a few other villagers followed, desperately trying to bring her back, but the girl continued on her path, straight into a clearing in the woods where Mary Worth was standing, holding a glowing wand that appeared to be the source of the girl's hypnosis. The villagers set upon Mary, and she was eventually captured and burned at the stake. As she burned, it is said that she cursed the villagers. If they ever dared to utter her name into a mirror, she would return to exact her revenge. Of course, the end of the story reveals that, much like Elizabeth Bathory, Mary Worth had been using the blood of young girls to make herself more youthful. So, if we go by this story, Bloody Mary's origin is almost certainly Mary Worth. After all, she directly mentions saying her name into a mirror. However, the truth is not as clear-cut. There is no historical proof that a Mary Worth ever actually existed, let alone murdered young girls and unleashed a curse as she was burning at the stake. This is very likely a fictional tale, pulling from the folklore surrounding Elizabeth Bathory and contrived tropes about the ugly old witch who commits horrible acts for that most precious of attributes, youth. It is a disappointing but unsurprising conclusion, and it leaves us with more questions than answers, as the ultimate identity of Bloody Mary remains elusive. This lack of provenance, however, does not completely debunk the ritual. In fact, this urban legend is remarkable in that, despite its vagaries, it has something many others do not. First-hand accounts of encounters that go beyond the traditional friend of a friend of a friend stories that we usually associate with such legends. Shall we hear a few? The first two stories were compiled in an article on thelineup.com. And the first of these stories comes from a girl named Marissa. One evening, Marissa and a friend had been watching ghost stories on the TV and, feeling mischievous, Marissa decided to try and scare her friend by chanting Bloody Mary into the living room mirror. This chanting conjured up no ghost, so she went to the bathroom to repeat the ritual, against her friend's wishes, of course. Marissa switched off the lights, repeated the chant, and waited. Still nothing. That was until Marissa went to switch the lights back on and noticed something in the mirror. There was a woman looking back at her, her face contorted in a harrowing silent scream. Then the apparition lifted her arms to reveal hands that were bright red with blood. Her fingernails had been torn off. Finally, invisible hands reached out from behind Marissa and grabbed her on the shoulders. This was the final straw. Marissa ran from the bathroom, never to risk encountering such a horrifying apparition again. The second story involved a girl named Katie and her friends. The girls, hoping to summon the famous ghoul, took some candles into the bathroom and began chanting Bloody Mary into the mirror. As they chanted, a terrifying old lady appeared in the mirror with chains around her neck and bloody cuts all over her face. Then the shower curtain burst into flames, sending the girls running screaming from the bathroom. The candles were, of course, blamed for the curtain catching fire, but the girls were adamant that they had been too far away to have been the cause, meaning the inferno must have been a preternatural act. Another story was shared firsthand on the website godsandmonsters.com by a woman named Christina. She claims that, while bored at a friend's house one day, she decided to try summoning Bloody Mary in the bathroom, as you do. She turned off the lights, lit some candles, and despite her paralyzing fear, was able to force out the three infamous chants of Bloody Mary. As she was saying the name for the third time, she noticed a spark on the shower curtain just behind her. Christina stared into the mirror in horror as she saw the shower curtain move, revealing the figure of an ugly, hunched woman crouched behind the curtain. The woman's face was cracked and pale, and she was bleeding from her eyes. Christina was paralyzed with fear as the woman began to creep towards her, holding out both arms as she approached. When she got close enough to touch the terrified girl, she suddenly backed up and put her finger to her lips in a shushing motion. The bathroom door swung open, the candles went out, and the bathroom light came on by itself. A moment later, Christina's friend found her in the bathroom, and both of them saw a handprint that had been left on the mirror. It was almost as if Bloody Mary had sensed the friend coming and decided to disappear before she was witnessed by a second person, leaving Christina as the sole witness to this terror. The next story is slightly different from your standard Bloody Mary tales, but I decided to include it as I found it particularly creepy. A Reddit user with the handle Major Voltori Whitlock replied to a thread titled "Anyone else have any experience with Bloody Mary?" with the following tale. Quote, "I was at a group sleepover and we tried. I had and still have insomnia, so I stayed up an hour later reading. I heard her walking around downstairs and wailing and screaming and crying, and she slowly walked around down there, then came up the stairs, paused and tried to open the locked door, then went to the bathroom we tried it in. We were the only people in the house, and all external doors and windows were locked. The only possible entry would be a trash tunnel, and that opening is too small for a person to fit through." Now that we've heard some harrowing and allegedly real encounters with the infernal spirit of Mary, it's time for me to get on my analytical soapbox and discuss why, at least to me, this piece of folklore is so fascinating. Firstly, the similarities between the Bloody Mary ritual and much older, more established rituals of scrying and divination gives it a sense of gravitas that a lot of similar stories don't have. Scrying, as discussed at the top of the episode, involves gazing into a reflective surface to try and supernaturally gain information, and has been a part of common folklore in Britain for centuries. It was often performed at Halloween, as it was believed that the veil between the worlds was thinner, and thus it was easier to gain information from spirits or via other supernatural means. For many of us, the idea of gazing into a dark mirror is horrifying, as low light and overactive imaginations lead us to see sinister shapes and shadows in the reflection. Whether we believe these to be supernatural visitors or simply tricks of the eye, they are still unsettling and likely something we'd like to avoid. After all, how many people do you know who refuse to look at mirrors in the dark? Maybe you are one of those people. It's an almost universal experience, And I think that's why Bloody Mary has such a hold on people, as the central aspect of the ritual is an action that many of us find particularly scary. Another potential link between Bloody Mary and established superstitions is the idea of crying blood. Though this is only present in some accounts of the ritual, crying blood is a visceral image that, should you see it in a candlelit mirror, is especially grim. However, anyone familiar with Catholic miracles will tell you that a woman called Mary crying blood is not exclusive to spooky rituals. The weeping statue is a common example of so-called miracles reported by the Catholic Church, where inanimate statues or idols are seen to be crying with no explicable source. More often than not, the statue in question is the Virgin Mary, and while clear tears are often reported, the statue crying blood is just as common. Googling this will bring up numerous articles, some more dubious than others, discussing the phenomenon. I wonder if stories of crying Virgin Mary statues became entwined with tales of the Bloody Mary ritual, resulting in the added detail of Bloody Mary crying blood. In a 2014 thesis submitted to the Memorial University of Newfoundland and Labrador, Laura Winter notes that the girls at her Catholic school expected to see the Virgin Mary in the mirror when they performed the ritual, and the game is apparently very popular in Catholic schools. So perhaps this link is more established than we might think. Either way, the parallel is interesting, and this possible link to another belief system makes it even more intriguing. There is another, much more all-encompassing factor to the Bloody Mary phenomenon that I would like to discuss, that of the extremely female-centric nature of both the ritual and its themes. Of course, the eponymous apparition is female, but the historical figures theorised to be Bloody Mary all share a distinctly gendered reputation. Queen Mary, as we discussed earlier, was disproportionately reviled as a female in power, and Elizabeth Bathory and Mary Worth were accused of unspeakable violence in pursuit of youth and beauty. Call me a radical feminist if you wish, but I think there is a clear misogynistic streak in how all these figures are presented, especially where the trope of the old woman desperately seeking youth and beauty is concerned. Mary Worth and Elizabeth Bathory were seeking traits that are, perhaps, the most valued that women can have in a patriarchal society. And in Mary Worth's case, her status as a haggard old woman is a defining plot device in the story, at least before she becomes youthful and feminine as a result of her violent acts. Similarly to where I addressed problematic racial tropes in my episode about Screaming Skulls, I think here we have an example of how problematic gendered tropes can influence folklore. This isn't the first example of this, and it certainly won't be the last, but I think that this is a good time to address it, as gendered ideas are so prominent in the Bloody Mary mythology. Another layer to the gendered nature of the Bloody Mary ritual is the prominence of preteen and teenage girls as the main participants. There are several scholarly articles and theses focusing on this, but perhaps the most prominent is written by Alan Dundas. In his thesis, Bloody Mary in the Mirror, a ritual reflection of prepubescent anxiety, Dundas posits that the ritual is an allegory for the onset of menstruation. He cites the fact that the ritual takes place in a bathroom, as well as the prominence of blood and the idea of anxiety around seeing or showing blood as evidence of this. He places a lot of emphasis on menstruation marking the transition from girlhood to womanhood, and thus the anxiety-inducing yet exciting ritual of Bloody Mary lines up with the anxieties and excitement of growing up. Dundas also makes other, more tenuous links between Bloody Mary and the anxieties of preteen girls. These include the name Mary sounding a lot like marry, thus referencing the expectation of finding a husband, as well as references to the Virgin Mary or a headless apparition being a Freudian reference to losing one's virginity. To be completely honest, I'm undecided about this thesis. While I do see the links that Dundas is making, and I can see how the Bloody Mary ritual could be an allegory for menstruation, I also find some of these ideas quite patronising. Granted, this thesis was published in the 1990s, but I can't help feeling like a lot of these ideas about girls being anxious to get married and the like is outdated and a little bit condescending. Of course, folklore evolves with time, so it's certainly possible that these were once the anxieties reflected in the ritual. But through a contemporary lens, they do seem archaic. Aside from anxieties about menstruation and marriage, there are other aspects of the teenage experience that could be present in or exercised through the Bloody Mary ritual. Laura Winter discusses how the ritual was sometimes used as a means for bullies or, quote, more dominant girls to assert their authority or reinforce social hierarchies by forcing their peers to play the game. Here, the anxieties are multifaceted. The obvious fears of seeing Bloody Mary and the fear of the bully, but also the more existential fear of what would happen if you were to subvert the hierarchy and refuse to participate. The potential of judgment or ostracization, or being seen as a coward. These dynamics, while sadly present at every stage of life, are particularly prominent for teens and preteens, so it makes sense that the ritual would be seen in this way. I also think that the Bloody Mary ritual could be an allegory for anxieties about self-image and body image. It's a pretty obvious metaphor. The girl looks into a mirror and sees a hideous woman screaming back at her. Haven't we all felt this way? Okay, maybe our moments of self-deprecation aren't quite as extreme as seeing ourselves as a screaming monster woman, but the metaphor still stands. Now we've discussed the myriad of gender-based undertones in the Bloody Mary lore, let's discuss the sceptical theories around the ritual. It goes without saying that when such a game is played in a dark or semi-dark room, the possibility of tricks of the eye or mind games increases tenfold. One of the most obvious sceptical explanations for people seeing Bloody Mary in the mirror is just that, the warping effects of dim lighting and mirrors, which cause people to see things that aren't there. Staring into a mirror in a dimly lit room has been proved to make people hallucinate. One's reflection may distort, and shadows, especially when the game is played by candlelight, may cause people to see apparitions or shapes that actually have a very pedestrian explanation. Giovanni Caputo of the University of Urbino calls this the strange face illusion, and posits that this is the result of the brain's facial recognition system misfiring in a way that we don't fully understand yet. There is also a considerable element of confirmation bias or apophenia involved in games like this. One expects to see a specific apparition, So the likelihood of misidentifying a visual stimulus as said apparition is greatly increased. That's not to say that anyone who engages in such rituals is gullible or not aware of their own expectations, but it is worth noting that suggestion is a powerful thing, especially when combined with the nervous hope of seeing a supernatural villain. That said, I do think the accounts of people having more prolonged or interactive encounters with Bloody Mary, such as Christina's story that I recounted earlier, are slightly harder to dismiss as low-light pareidolia. So maybe there is something to the tales of sinister spinsters lurking in your bathroom mirror. The legend of Bloody Mary is one of the most chilling and pervasive urban legends out there. Generations have bravely undertaken the ritual, or fearfully declined to participate. And the mystery around who Mary is and what she wants with us will no doubt keep youngsters enthralled for generations to come. The underlying allusions to such unifying anxieties as growing up and one's own self-image also give the ritual a very tangible feeling that other scary sleepover games lack. Whether the participants realise it or not, by partaking in a Bloody Mary ritual, they may well be confronting their day-to-day fears as much as their fantastical ones. So let's not write off the ritual as the hijinks of teenagers or a silly game to play in the dark. Mary might just be helping people come to terms with some very human fears. And who knows? She could be real, after all. So it might be worth checking your bathroom mirror once you're finished listening to this. I've called her name more than enough times to summon her, haven't I? Thanks for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed our excursion into the eerie. If you like the show and you want to see more, please subscribe and follow the show on social media. You can find all the links in the episode description. We are fast approaching the end of season one, and I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has engaged with, promoted, and enjoyed the show so far. There's a few more episodes left, and then we will have a few weeks' break before returning for a new season of Chilling Tales. So please stay engaged with the show during the inter-season break. Thanks again for listening, and please join me next time for another tale that will give you the heebie-jeebies.